Hi there, welcome back to the Developer's Guide to Windows 10, brackets, build 10.240, close brackets. So this is the latest update to this ongoing saga, the Developer's Guide MVA, which we're going to be in much the same way as Windows 10 is itself more of a service that's going to be continuously revved. So it is with this MVA.
Yeah.
But this is our first real opportunity. So the store has been open for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
and is now accepting. You can now submit UWP apps to the store. And so, Shen, you're going to take us through the story is.
Yeah, I want to walk you through the Dev Center. So you've probably all watched these videos now. You're all eager to build UWP apps.
Yeah,
you've got to the point where you built this most beautiful UWP app, but no one has a chance to see it. Why not? Because you need to submit it to the store.
Yep.
So.
You could email it to all your friends, but that's not going to get you rich and famous. So,
So you can tell it's a jam-packed agenda. I mean, the store just has so much. I had to finish with dot, dot, dot before I went to font size 3 or something. It couldn't get it all on. But you can see, like, I'm talking about the migration of your existing apps, because obviously we still have apps in the store that are from 8 and 8.1 and 7. Talking about package management, the distribution, hardware filtering we've introduced, in-app purchases and discounts, in-app advertising, promotions, beta testing, campaigns, analytics, business store,
the list goes on. Yeah.
So
there's a lot
to talk
about.
This should be a fun hour.
Yeah.
So I think the best place to start is, what about those people that
already,
you're
an existing developer. We've all got apps in the store, I would think.
Yeah. It's not just the store, because they're in various stores, right? They would have been in three stores. They would have been in the Windows Desktop Store, Windows Mobile Store, and some in the Xbox. And of course, now with some of our new sort of IoT HoloLens Surface Hub devices coming out, we sort of have all that now coming together in the Windows 10 One Store. So I suppose the key message here is it's going to be one Core OS, one app platform, and therefore we want just one store.
And it's worth remembering the store is not just a shopfront for people to find and purchase your apps. The whole infrastructure behind it is this easy way for you as an app developer to ship updates through it, and the distribution channels and the silent updating overnight, you know, all these apps, you're making sure that your end users are getting the latest.
This is the best way to connect your users to your apps as fast as possible in the most richest possible way.
Sure.
So let's talk a bit about the One Dev Center. So you can see here, as we've said, the Universal Windows Platform now gives you sort of one app submission process. So you'll have multiple packages in the single app submission. There is one registration, so you don't have to go and register for multiple stores and then link them all. It's just one single registration. You have nice features like customer acquisition and engagement, and we'll talk a bit more about that.
Yeah, because there's some new stuff there, isn't there?
Yeah. I want to tell you a bit more about the monetization as well and the analytics.
Analytics, well, there's a lot of good stuff there. Information, this is analytics about information about who's installing it, is it crashing, where people are using it.
Well, that's the key thing, because when you build an app, you want to make sure that as you get, you know, you give more and more improvements and versions, you want to make sure that the users are using them correctly, or better still, understand your users so you can build your app in the right way, so you don't end up, you know, going off in one direction when really your users don't care about that feature. They want something else.
No good burning weeks of dev effort on building out this feature that in an area that of people aren't really going. So,
data is king these days, and analytics is one of those.
Yep.
So let's have a look at, let's take a brief sort of, you know, nostalgic history lesson here. So in 2013.
Oh, distant mists of time, 2013. Yeah.
So, well, yeah, maybe for the store.
Yeah.
So in 2013, we had sort of two consumer experiences, two stores, and we had two developer experiences.
Two dev centers.
Yeah.
Yep.
So 2014 came along, and we sort of did some convergence. So we had sort of a one consumer experience. And I don't know, people that have obviously written apps before will remember linking their apps together.
So essentially, this was about, you still shipped two packages to the two stores, but essentially, if you actually, when you reserved a name, if you reserved the same name, and you're the same publisher, then
it would link.
They had the same package family name. They were essentially the same app, but for the two different.
Correct. And you would see this icon, you know, on the right, with like sort of like the devices together saying that, hey, this is a sort of a 8.1 universal type app.
Yeah.
But the dev experiences were still two different stores.
But also, here we started this thing where a consumer could, if it was a paid app, they could purchase it on one platform, and that gave them usage rights on the other.
Unless, of course, the developer didn't want to do that.
Yes, that's right.
So where are we now? Well, if we have a look at 2015, it's one developer experience with one consumer experience.
Yep.
But this obviously causes a slight problem, right? Because if you think about it, all your existing packages have been on the phone store and the developer store.
So what happens
and now we
to
bring it
to,
yeah, so, yeah, so what so, happens when yeah. we bring things together? So let's have a quick look. So I think the best place to start is probably, you know, your merged linked applications and the in-app purchases that were with them.
Yep.
So on the left here, I have the phone dev center, and on the right, I have the Windows desktop dev center.
And let's be clear that these are, this is like just yesterday, effectively, the story.
Yes, this is probably, you know, a few weeks ago.
A few weeks ago. Now we've got a new one, which is this converged one. So what's happened to all of these packages that were there and were there? How does that appear in this new converged store?
So let's have a look. So we have the two dev centers. So obviously that became one lovely dev center.
Beautiful.
We then went to one application.
Yep. And we already had that linkage.
You had that link, so...
So we already knew the package family name was the same,
correct.
So it's obviously clear which is one application, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And you'll see I have packages from various different platforms.
And obviously the ones that weren't linked, you had unique ones, they're still there in this Windows Dev Center as discrete applications. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you can see what we end up doing is we put all the packages together as part of the submission.
Yeah.
So it all looks like it's still one Apex.
Yeah.
The pricing... We merged.
Yep.
Store listings as well. And now with the in-app purchases, it's slightly different because if you remember, the phone sort of had this whole thing where you could list in-apps together with your desktop as well. So you can see I've got in-app 1 and 2. But I also linked my in-app purchases here as well. So the two were linked. And then I've got three on its own on the big
IOP
Windows.
IOP2, that's the same one. But then there's a unique one that was on the... what did we have on this?
That
time?
Was the, phone.
The desktop.
The desktop.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we have a look at what happens here, so the first one goes up with its own pricing and listing, which is important.
Then what
happens is on the second one, we take both of them and it merges as one. And then we have the third one. So in essence, when we used to have four in-app purchases, now we have three because two of them were identical anyway.
Yep. Okay, that's clear enough.
So this is with merged and in-app purchases. So what about... sort of discussing the more merging details about how your submission changed.
Because which markets is available, description, because screenshots, that's obviously going to be different.
Well, yeah, exactly.
About that. Yeah.
So again, let's, the one lovely dev center.
Yeah.
Becomes one application.
Sure.
Now this is where things get interesting. So we took the base price from Windows desktop.
Okay. Yeah.
But you see the phone had specific features of market pricing, which the desktop didn't. So we brought the market price from phone across.
Okay, yes.
And then what we did with the markets is we basically merged the market. So if you were available in certain countries on the phone and certain countries on desktop, we'd end up bringing them all together so you'd be available in all those markets. The description we took from the desktop.
Yep.
The screenshots we took from both, because you can't take from one because your screenshots would have been on a phone on one and then maybe a desktop on the other,
sure.
So you need both of those. Then we have the categories we took from Windows. And we've actually added some more categories as well to that list.
Okay. So I suppose the kind of takeaway from here is that if you've got any version 8.x apps that were in the separate stores, you probably ought to go and check what we've done in merging that. We've done, you know, our best shot at doing the right thing, but you want to just go in and check that everything's just how you want, and then you can actually make changes.
So we've talked a bit about migration. Now, I think this is probably all you need to know about how things migrate. And what I want to talk to you now is, what about the process now? You know, I'm creating my new UWP app from scratch, and I'm ready to deploy this to the store. So I thought what would be kind of fun and exciting to do is to go through the process from Visual Studio and actually do an app submission all the way through and show you the various features of
great.
Dev Center.
Okay.
So let's go to demo slide. Okay, cool. So I'm going to do...
And just while you're setting that up, I'll just say, you know, because we've done all that merging into the... merging of the details of the apps, it doesn't change if you don't upgrade the app. It's not when you upgrade the app and ship a new Windows 10 version to the store, that's a unique submission.
Yes.
So what we're talking about is your existing app submission packages here, and where they, if you had an app that was only on desktop on Windows 8, that remains available on the Windows 10 desktop.
Yes.
So it doesn't auto magically somehow get available on phone or anything. for that, you need to create a UWP version of your app, and then you can ship it to all the other classes of devices.
Correct. Yeah. So actually, now I'll just quickly walk you through this basic thing.
Cool.
So you'll see here that actually when I create a blank application, you'll see here that I have show telemetry in Windows Dev Center. That's worth keeping checked. If you want, you can also have analytics with Azure Application Insights, which might be useful.
So the basic telemetry is just crashes and downloads.
Yeah,
and obviously the kind of reviews information.
Exactly.
But richer analytics, you're going to come onto that? That's kind of
so
interesting.
So we probably won't talk about richer analytics based on time, but we'll definitely show you the Dev Center analytics and what happens there.
Yeah, yeah.
So here I've just already created an application.
Yeah.
This application doesn't do much, in fact. This is just for demonstration purposes. You can see it's just a blank app. But what I want to show you here is actually what you need to do to get it to the store.
Yep.
So the first thing you would do is you'd right-click on your application here, and you'd go to the store menu.
Yep.
And you can associate with the store, but in this case, I can create app packages, which does the same thing. It'll still take me through the association process. So say, do you want to build packages to upload to the Windows Store? Yes, I would.
Yes, we'd love to. Yeah.
Now, in this case, I've already filled out my credentials, but if you haven't filled out your credentials, you'll get the usual Microsoft account asking for your email and then your password, and then it'll do the usual.
And then it'll call you back on your phone.
Correct.
Send you
correct.
A code.
So to avoid the whole two-factor authentication while doing a live demo, I thought I'd put my credentials in straight away.
Okay.
Once you've done this, it's going to ask you whether you want to reserve a new app name or associate with an existing app. So I've already done this one. So here we go. It's going to check my developer account. Here we go.
Okay. So this is where you associate your app.
So I create a new reserve name, or I'm just going to call it under Shen Store.
You're going to use that existing one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here, what you'll notice here is it's saying, well, what would you like to include in your package? So actually, I'm going to include all three, x86, x64, and ARM.
Yeah, so that covers all the platforms we currently support.
Correct, yep. I can increase the version number if I want, but this is an automatically increment, so I'm not going to mess with that at all.
Yep.
This is great for, obviously, when you want to push out the latest version. If you're a version behind, the store won't say, oh, you submitted this package last, therefore that's the latest version. It'll always use the version number, not the order in which they were submitted. So I'm just going to go and create that. So this is the bit where, you know, if you want to grab a cup of tea, it's always wise. But Visual Studio doesn't look like it's doing much, but actually it is. If I go to the output window here, so you'll see that actually it's actually building. And one key thing to notice here is actually
.NET native compilation.
It's now doing .NET native compilation.
Which I know does take a little while compared to the instant compilation we've actually used.
For those people that always like to, like build in release, it'll always build in .NET native unless you explicitly, uncheck a box.
Yep.
What this does when we select .NET native is, in essence, it's going to make sure that our apps actually run faster. So they have a 50% startup increase and a 14% sort of memory increase on the store. All apps in the store will always be .NET native.
C# VB Nuts. Yeah. .NET native is is a great performance improvement you get for free because effectively we're compiling in the cloud.
Yes.
And what gets shipped down to the end user's device is binary ready to go machine code. So in the particular architecture of the device that you are running. So we effectively get in the way of JIT compilation on the end user device.
Yes.
And we've got, so all that raw performance, it's just, if you're getting near native perf out of managed code apps. This is really, really great stuff. Yeah.
So here we go. So I think it's just finished building. Let's see. Oh, it's still going.
Looks like you started again. Yeah.
Did I start again? I don't know. Oh, I think it's just generating some of the,
all right, okay, yeah. It's probably x64 this time.
Yep,
it'll have to do the very... It has to run through all the architectures.
Maybe I should have only used just one. But, but this gives you an idea. So it has to run it across all three. And then what I'll be able to do is it'll give me the option from there to look at these packages.
Right.
And then from those, there'll be Apex upload packages, and I can then deploy this to the store, which is what we'll do. And at the same time, I might even run the WAC test in the background so we can see sort of... what happens, because that's also quite a timely process.
Yes, and we can be talking while that's going.
So I thought let's try and do two things at once.
Running native compilers, I mean, it's all good, but this takes serious computing power going into this.
And you can clearly see that this is a very basic package. Our app doesn't do too much at this point, so obviously if you are going to run this, make sure you're aware.
There's
a 64 package.
All right, build succeeded.
There we go.
Now
this
we're into
is our ARM.
Okay, so that's the last one of the three.
This is the last one.
Yeah.
All right. And then what we'll do is, once this is done, you'll get presented with a user interface, and that will show you where to pick up your packages. It'll ask you if you want to launch the WAC test. So the WAC is sort of the Windows Application Certification Kit.
Windows Application Certification Kit. Yes. Yeah, so effectively, what you're doing with that is you are running through the same automated tests that the store will also run through. So you can kind of, I suppose, by running it yourself, you can just prevent that, submit it to store, and then later on you get it's failed because such and such. So you can just run that test yourself.
The last thing you want to do is, spend all this time filling out all the information, go to the store, submit your package, get ready to deploy it, and then the store goes, your package didn't pass.
No.
So the WAC is really there to make sure that you can do your pre-checks up front, so when you get to the store, you have a greater level of confidence.
Yeah.
The WAC is not going to, catch everything, but it's a good test to run and then make sure you get most of it. Yeah. So I think we're almost done here.
Yeah, shouldn't take too much longer.
Yeah.
Wonder what fix-ups for native code are.
Yeah.
There we go. Arm.apex.
And ta-da.
There we go.
Okay, here
good. So this is the do you want to run? So first of all, that's telling you where it is.
That's telling me where it is.
Yeah.
And this is telling me, it's been validated. And then here I can launch the WAC. So what I'm going to do is, before I do that, I'm going to grab these packages. Because although I want to run WAC, I also want to make sure that we're not sat here too long chatting. So I'm just going to copy those across.
All right.
Cool. Now what I'm going to do here is I'm going to launch the Windows App Certification Kit.
Yeah.
And I hit yes. So you'll see here what it's now going to do is it's going to run all these tests, and I can opt in and opt out of whatever I want.
All right.
I could be, very simple and just go, actually, I only care about this one.
Right. But the store will run all of these, so you might as well.
Store is going to run all of these, normally, the reason why you may opt to select certain ones is because you've already rang WAC once and you know it's passed, and there might be something you failed on. So you just want to test that particular item, say, as you're running the whole thing again.
Sure.
But let's run this through.
All right.
So you can see here what's going to happen is it's going to go through all that list, and sometimes you'll see your application appear.
Yeah.
And what it's trying to do is it launches your application.
Oh, there it was. It bounced to the front and then went again. Yeah.
It'll launch your application, it'll quickly run a test maybe, and then it will close it. And it may do this a couple of times. So here you go. So you can see it's launched my application. It's probably doing a test to make sure that it launches without crashing.
Yes.
There'll be tests like that. And then once it's done, it'll sort of close it again. And
stunning UI, that.
Yeah. Well, I try to compete with yourself there, Andy, and I don't think
you've done it, man. You nailed it. Yeah. You nailed it. That's, I can't argue with that.
Less is more these days.
Absolutely.
Less is more. Yeah. Okay. So, while we're going, what I want to do is I'm going to go over to the Dev Center here.
Okay.
So dev.windows.com is going to be your new best friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
It already is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the dashboard here. So you can see here, actually, I've already got that app in progress.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is let's start, and we'll click this. So you can see here, at the moment, it's pretty empty, nothing much there.
Yeah.
It's a new app, and I've got loads of different things I can play with. And we'll go through all of this.
Right.
But the first thing you really want to do is maybe start a submission.
Okay.
So I'm going to click Start a Submission. So here we go. So this is where it's high risk with live code demo. So I'm just going to. So you can see here, there are actually quite a few things available for you here.
Yeah.
You can see the pricing availability, the application properties. Ooh.
The
packages,
again.
And those for certification. And we're going to walk through each of these. So
cool.
I'm going to start with pricing and availability.
Yeah.
So the nice thing here is I can sort of select different prices in different markets. So let's start off with how much you want to charge. Oh, I think it could be that it's waiting for app launch. Could be me forcing in the background. Okay. I'm going to say free, because I think I want to share my application with everyone and all the greatness that it offers with all its rich.
That's very generous
goodness.
Of you.
Yeah.
That's very good. Yeah.
Yeah. I may say I want to give it a free trial, but if it's free already, it doesn't sort of make sense. And what I can do is I can say, well, actually, in certain markets and certain prices, I can actually change this. So this is the base price. This is the price I want to charge everybody.
Yeah.
But you may say that
maybe certain markets you might want to change that. Yeah.
So I may say, well, actually, I might say, let's have a look here. United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I may say, well, actually, I know the Brits might pay for my app. I don't know, will they?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's a pretty good app.
Brits go a bundle on blank screen apps.
Yeah.
They'll pay good money for that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I don't know, how much you reckon? Might be a bit too much if I go £700.
Yeah, I don't think you should go too ambitious.
Okay,
79 pence.
That's good.
Okay.
Now, the cool thing about this is, actually, I might say, Well, what I want to do is I want to actually start my whole app submission with a bang. I want to have a sale on as well because, you know.
That's okay.
So I'm actually thinking maybe I should.
So this is new.
Yeah, I can actually charge a discounted rate.
Okay.
So I could say, well, actually, from the start date today at 10 p.m. UTC, which is pretty much close to now, I would
assume. Probably now, yes.
The end date, let's not be quite short-lived. I'll give it for a week.
Okay.
Sale priced here, so you can again choose. So
it's free for
free,
a week.
Yeah. But what I want to do is I'm going to say for the UK, they can also have it free if it's not already selected here. So I'm going to say, okay, cool. So for the first week, it's free for the UK, but afterwards I'm going to charge them.
All right.
Okay, cool. So now I've done this, I'm going to say done.
Yeah. That's the sale thing. Yeah, done on that. Good.
Great. So let's go back up here.
Yeah.
So now I've got distribution and visibility.
All right.
So if you you always have to remember to sort of click on the right here on show options.
Yeah, because it looks like there's nothing there. But All right, now this is interesting. So there's different ways of, once you've got your app, there's different ways of making it available to people. So as you say, you've got anyone can find your app in the store. Or you can actually make sure that people browsing through the store website or using the store app
won't see it. It's not discoverable.
But you get, when you've done the submission, you get a link sent to you, a direct link, so you can then distribute that to certain selected people, and they can click that link and they can discover that.
Yep. Or if you wanted to, you could actually just create a list of people that maybe you want to have. Yeah. So you might have direct customers that can access this, so therefore you can provide an email list. And this is on phone 8.1 and earlier, so just know that that's slightly different. And then if I want to actually stop my app from selling altogether and hide it, I would select this. And this will actually stop it from appearing anywhere whatsoever.
Yeah.
So in this case, I might just keep it as maybe this one.
Okay.
Which is the Hide App in Store.
Yeah.
And now this is some neat stuff here.
This is new,
The device family, so let's show this.
I can limit
to desktop and mobile for now. This obviously will grow as the store grows. Obviously, the store is also on a cadence, so it's as a service. Yep. It's not in line with Windows. It might run faster, might run slower, depending on what's on the backlog. But here you can see I have two checkboxes. I can either select desktop, or I could select mobile, or both. And the nice thing here is I could actually let Microsoft decide when they add more families to this device family, whether they feel my application is good for that device.
Okay.
Or I could say, I want
to
know what's happening here.
So when HoloLens gets released, you want to maybe make your app available on HoloLens.
Or maybe I want to add an update for, the HoloLens experience. So I may say, actually, I don't want you to choose because when those devices come out, I've got something special
for them. You've got extra special to put out.
I have things that I want to light up based on this.
Yeah, okay. That's nice.
I'll hide those options. And this is a new one as well, organizational licensing.
Okay.
So we'll talk a bit more about the business store side of things. But what I'm saying here is actually, I want to make sure that my application is available for volume licensing. So this is, let's say, for businesses, I might want to say, well, actually, if you buy 100 of my free app, you never know. Or, I want to make sure that at that point, I can probably offer some sort of discount or something like that, or maybe there's a commercial license. And I also have the option here to allow for disconnected offline license purchases as well.
Okay.
Because not all organizations have every single machine, connected to the net.
No, that's right. For
security reasons or whatever. So let's hide that as well. And then the final thing here is, so how do I want to publish? So I could say, well, actually, once you've passed certification, just go for it. Don't wait. I want it in the store as fast as possible. The second option here is publish this app manually.
Yep.
And what sometimes this means is actually, I know that I've got a release date. Maybe I've got a big press launch on my fabulous app.
Yeah.
Therefore, I want to publish this app manually, but I'm not sure whether the press launch is this week or next week. It hasn't been decided yet.
Right.
So that's a great way to do this.
It stays under your control.
Yeah.
And the other one is, the last one is...
No sooner than.
Often people say, we've got a coordinated... Similar thing, we've got a coordinated thing. We want it to go out on all platforms on a certain time, on a certain day, and you can actually just schedule that there.
So, And the key thing to remember here, though, is with this, is obviously the store will have to push it through. Once it's pushed through, it has to go through a CDN. So it's got to,
There's going to be a little bit of a lag
there. You've got to allow for that sort of timing to go in. So I'm going to say, let's publish this manually. very conscious that I don't start randomly publishing this app to the store. I'm scared of getting a one-star rating.
mind you, if you remember, you're only doing the hidden in the store direct link thing anyway. So you're probably on safe ground, eh?
I should tweet the link afterwards, yep. So let's have a quick look at our WAC since we're here, because we're almost close to packages.
Okay, that's passed.
So that's passed.
Oh, I'm surprised at that, actually. I would have thought with the default artwork that you get in a new project, it would have said, you haven't got... It used to say, oh, no, you can't ship this. You haven't done any tiles or anything. So it will now let you do that.
I've managed to get away with it.
Yeah, fair enough.
No doubt. So don't forget, this is a WAC test. When you upload to the store, it'll definitely say something about my packages.
There'll be additional little things
you may say, sorry, Shen. Nice try. Try again later. Yeah. So you can see, actually, these are all the tests it ran. And it passed fine. I think one of the reasons maybe is it didn't actually check the resources.
Right.
So it didn't go through that test.
And this WAC test actually isn't static either, does it?
No.
This itself gets updated periodically. Yes. You run it from Visual Studio, but if we add new tests in the future, then...
Sometimes there may be a policy change, and because of that policy change, WAC might need to change as well.
Yep.
So let's go on to app properties here, back to the Dev Center.
Okay.
So I can pick a category. So some of these categories will look familiar. Some of these categories have got new things, so like games may have a few extra ones in here.
And this obviously all determines where in the store your app will get
listed.
So it's important for discoverability that you kind of make this right.
This is similar to like your SEO equivalents of, this is what this whole page is about.
Yeah.
So I'd say books and reference, or is it really books and reference? What do you reckon?
Your blank screen app.
I think it's more a utility and tool,
I think
isn't
utility,
it?
Utility, yeah.
Yeah. Probably a backup and manage. This is what happens if you don't backup and manage. You get nothing. Yeah,
it's a warning. It's one of those warning apps.
Yeah. And then you see here as well, we have store age rating. So this is also pretty cool. So I'm going to say, actually, this is okay for youngsters. You want to learn from a young age to backup.
I think so.
And then we have this. So this is more probably linked
for
to games ratings mainly.
Because you actually have requirements in a lot of areas that you have to have a specific rating.
It's normally ESRB for United States. I think in the UK it's PEGI. Yeah. So you can choose the age rating based on what you feel the game is. I don't think I need to worry about that for mine. There's not much gaming in there.
I think there's not much controversial going on in your app.
No, no. And here we have hardware preferences. So this is new.
Okay.
So actually, what I could be, I'd be very particular about where I want my app to go and what devices. So I could say, well, actually, my app is totally touch friendly. As a matter of fact, it has to be a touch device.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't want it there.
So you don't. This will, as it says, if the user's downloading it to a non-touch device,
you'll
they'll get
a warning.
So
yes.
It won't prevent them.
We never stop them from downloading it, but there'll be things like, for instance, you said, I want to make sure it's keyboard and mouse, and someone only on a tablet decides that they're going to download this app, you'll get the warning.
Yep.
They'll install the app. If they try and give you a rating, you probably won't let them, because it'll be like, well, you were told this is not going to work on this device. So it's sort of at your own risk at that point as a consumer.
Sure.
So you can select whatever you need. I'm going to go with keyboard, mouse, and touch, I think would be my favorite. And there are a few sort of things here, app declarations. So there's this one, which is kind of an important one. This app allows users to make purchases but does not use the Windows Store commerce system.
So we do allow you if your app wants to use third-party commerce system.
So it's kind of the policy actually states you can't unless you're a charity or something like that. And therefore, this is what this checkbox is all about.
Right.
So if you check this and you don't fall under that category of organization that we're okay with using third parties, then you'll get flagged on the store and they'll probably ask you to change that.
Okay.
So I don't do that. I wouldn't say my app has been tested to accessibility guidelines because it's so basic, but if you have, you should check that box.
Yeah.
And there are a few other here as well, like asking them if they want to, have backup on OneDrive or use the SD card on the devices, but I'm just going to hit save here. I'm pretty happy with that submission, I think.
Yeah. So that SD card one, a lot of phones, particular users can expand their phone's memory by putting an SD card, and that you then get a window comes up and says, okay, you've got an SD card. Are you happy for me to store music? Are you happy for me to store apps on there? And for most developers, that's absolutely not an issue.
Yeah.
But there may be specific reason why you really don't want your app on an SD card, but
All right, so let's select packages.
All right, so this is where you get your packages.
So I'm going to go to the original one here, and I'm going to just go and browse. It's heading off to System 32, probably why I'm getting that message. So I'm going to say, actually, I want to put in these ones, look like the later ones. You can obviously see I've done a previous run before.
Yeah, so you're only interested in the version 1.1.1.
Yep.
Versions of those. So you the ones you select is the Apex upload files.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
So hit
okay.
Open. And you can see here what it's doing is it's actually uploading and it's analyzing the package.
Yeah.
So this should hopefully go through okay from what my previous test.
Yeah.
But let's see what happens. And actually, if you want, you can don't have to wait for these. You can always just hit save and carry on going. But
okay.
We'll wait.
All right. So, yeah, so the Apex upload, it is a special form of your Apex precisely for uploading. So if you were keeping your packages and sideloading in an enterprise, it's obviously the Apex you'd be interested in.
Yeah, and you can see that here. If I go into like one of these, for instance, you'll see you have the PowerShell with the certificate with the Apex and all that goodness. So
that's
it's all available.
Enterprise sideloading things, yeah.
So you can see here, actually, that I've already managed to upload the 64-bit version.
All right, that's all looking good. So I'm still waiting for the other two to be
and they shouldn't take
finished.
Long.
No, it shouldn't take too long, should it? I wonder what it's doing. Yes.
Well, it's kind of interesting. So obviously, depending on how busy your app is, depends on what you get. But these are all separate instances. So it depends on which server it's on. It might be busy or not.
Sure.
But if worst comes to worst, we can also hit save. But we can show the details here. So you can see I've got the capabilities of the internet client, the file size, the languages that this is supporting. So at the moment, it's just ENUS. So I spell color without the U. So I'm just going to hit save, actually. I think we'll be OK anyway, as long as we've got one package.
Yeah.
So let's see. Right. Cool. So there you go. Oh, well, actually, another one's already gone up when I hit save. So the x86. So the final thing here, I've got description.
Right.
So this is important here. So you remember you said that, oh, actually, you've got to put in the app manifest all those images. Well, actually, we also have screenshots that you can put here.
Yep.
App tile icons.
And some of these are mandatory, aren't they?
Yeah, yes. And then you're going to have promotional artwork. Promotional artwork is when you go to the store, sometimes you'll see those nice, you know, full bleed images that they have for promotional work.
Right.
Actually,
so it's worth spending a bit
really,
of time on
you
this.
You really should put stuff in promotional artwork because you'd be surprised how much of an additional sort of, you know, boost you can get. Because if your app's really great and it's got great promotional artwork, you stand a better chance.
Yeah.
And again, you can just put in sort of new app features and recommended hardware and stuff. I'm just probably going to leave this blank for now, if it'll let me. Cool, yeah, obviously it's telling me it's incomplete, which is fine. Yeah. And this is one actually people sometimes trip up on, notes for certification. If you have something that uses authentication, like a username and password scenario, when the store goes to test your application and if it's locked by username and password, it generally will get flagged and they'll be like, sorry, because we can't see the content, we can't obviously give you free pass into the store. So if you have any sort of dummy accounts that the store can use, this is the place to put it.
Right.
This is the place to sort of say, hey, you know what, you use this username and password and this will get you through to where you need to go. And it may be a temporary one you set up on,
just enough information for the testers to do their work.
Yeah, exactly. And it gives you a few bullet points here as well. Yeah, steps to verify background audio usage, hidden or locked features and the like. And if I hit save there, and in essence, at that point, I will be able to submit to the store.
Okay.
So that's sort of a submission
101.
You can see we've gone through the whole lot.
Yep.
I just want to quickly go back to my app overview. So you can see that submission is in progress.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, that'll be okay, and you'll be able to sort of get further with that. Now I just want to show you in-app purchases. So notice in-app purchases are now separately listed to your submission.
Okay.
Which is interesting. And I can create an in-app purchase. So I'm just going to call it Shen Chahan Demo 2 In-App Purchase 1. And I'm just going to create that.
Okay.
And again, you have the same principle here where you'll have the various properties that you can fill out. And the pricing and availability is exactly the same sort of thing that we went through with the submission.
Yep.
So it's literally like its own submission.
Okay.
So the one thing I want to show you now is monetization.
All right.
So monetization, we have sort of ad units, and I'm going to show you a bit about that in a minute, where you can go and create your own ad unit, and then you'll get sort of the application ID and the add unit and the unit type. So let me show you what you can do. Let's say I did a Shan Chohan add one. I'm going to say video interstitial device family add unit. Oh, an error occurred. Never mind. But that's okay because I can still show you this. So when you're using sort of UWP, we have this now new thing called video interstitials.
Yeah.
And I want to show you this quick application.
All right. So yeah, a video interstitials is quite a exciting new way, isn't it, for allowing people to unlock features or gain credit of some kind. But the price they have to pay, if you like, is to watch your video.
Correct. Yeah, so here we have an app, a bit more richer than the one I submitted, granted.
Yeah.
But here I've got three levels. I've already completed one and two, and I'm ready to watch.
I'm
ready to go to the third one.
Yeah.
Now the thing is, as part of making monetization on this app, I want to show a video. So when I click three, what's happening is it's going out, and I'm getting an advert from Microsoft. Just turn that down a little bit.
Yeah.
So here you can see it's one of my favorite games, Forza. So I don't mind watching this.
Yeah.
And when it ends in like 3 seconds now, you'll see what will happen is. It'll go and enable it.
Okay, and we've enabled that level.
Yeah. And it's got all sorts of fallbacks, so very similar. If I run it up again and I click three and it starts, if I hit escape, you'll see that it's realized that I haven't watched the video, so it won't enable me to do that.
Okay, all right.
And that's very simple. So if I go to the main page here, you can see the application ID that I would have got from the store and the advert ID, the unit ID, I can pull that from my store.
Yep.
And in essence, all I have on my main page is a very simple sort of user interface, which I'm using VSMs with to unlock and lock levels.
Yeah.
In my C sharp here, I have an interstitial ad, which I've created here.
Okay.
And I use a task completion source. And all I just do is basically wire up four basic events, and I request an ad to buffer.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Pretty
and then
it.
Literally when they click, all I just say is show.
Yeah.
Based on the source being complete, to say that it's basically the advert is ready.
Yeah.
And that's it. And when I complete, I just basically set it up for the next round. If I cancel, I make sure I don't switch visual state.
That's where you escaped out, and so it didn't actually.
Yeah, correct. So the visual state stayed in locked.
Oh, okay.
So that gives you an idea of what that is all about.
Yeah, nice.
So let's go to promote my app. So what you can do here is you can actually go and promote your app. So there's paid, inactive, and house app. So let's go for a paid app. So I can give a campaign here.
Mm-hmm.
And I could probably start a new promotion campaign in whichever country I like. So in this case, United States. I've got to fill out a bit more information about my app submission before I can do it. Because it's not live, I can't go and add it. But in essence, I can add the app rating and a tagline, and it'll show that information as part of the promotion.
Okay.
And I can actually say, Microsoft should automatically tell me where the best place to promote my app is. And I can select a budget if I'm feeling like my app is amazing and it's worth spending $500 a month, I could do that, or maybe I'm feeling like money's a bit tight this month, $10 is all I can afford.
Yeah.
But I can actually go switch to manual targeting, so I can be very specific and saying, well, actually, I want all or males that are between maybe the age of 35, 49, or maybe 13 and 17, so you basically, based on the genre that I feel is right.
Okay.
So I'll switch back to auto. And again, you can put your American Express, whatever it is you're using as your payment.
Yep.
And then just go for a review.
Okay. So what happens then? This will cause your app to be promoted?
Yeah, so the store will then start promoting your app in various ways to make sure that it goes out to the right people. So, sometimes if you have, let's say, a banner ad, for instance, that you saw that we created a video interstitial, you might have a banner ad and your app may appear in one of those banners, for instance.
All right, okay.
And then let's go into promotional codes. So we have to go through this pretty quick because we've got a lot of talk about in the store.
Right.
It makes it a bit challenging. So we have here promotional codes. So think about this as a way of getting users onto your platform. Maybe you've got a user that uses, maybe three out of the four of your apps, or they're playing a game that you developed really frequently and you want to give them something. So one way to do this is actually to give them a promotional code. So this is a very standard 5x5 offer. So I could just say, Shin Chan, add one. And I could just say, I'm going to do one. You can do up to 250, I think it's every 6 months. And I'll just have an order for one for now. But you can order these codes. And what will happen is it may take a while to go and create the code. Or it could be, oh, it's pending, yep. What basically this does is it creates a tab-separated file. And in that tab-separated file, you'll see there'll be a promotion code, which is like a 5x5, you know, like the redeem code bits that you get when you're when you've got an Xbox Live account or something.
Yeah.
And it'll give you a URL as well, which the user can sort of go to. And what that'll allow the user to then do is actually redeem the code and maybe get free in-app purchases or maybe allow you to get sort of free apps. And this is also a great way, if you've got beta testers and you want them to use your app, you can create order codes and then just send them to your beta testers and say, hey, I know my app is paid, you know, it might be $4 or whatever, but if you use this link with a promotional code, you can redeem it for free to try.
Okay, all right. So that's or maybe to journalists or
something.
Yeah, okay.
Whoever your friends are.
Yep.
And then we have sale pricing. So this is, we've already talked a bit about this previously, but this is just giving you a bit more about sale pricing and what you can do. And the final thing is services. So we've already touched on this with the push notification, but this is basically just setting up your push notification in the store and getting the necessary credentials. And if you're using Bing Maps, then you can also get the Maps ID.
You need a Maps token, don't
Correct.
You?
Correct, so, and this is the way to get that.
Yeah, and those are free, but it's just a case of getting the right codes and things to wire it all up.
Correct. So that's pretty much a very quick walkthrough on the store.
Right, great.
I want to show you one last demo, if I can squeeze it in, before we go back to slides. Let's see, Pomodoro. So one thing people always ask me is, hey, Shen, you know what? I want to go and test in-app purchases on my application locally. How do I do this? This is very difficult because obviously you don't want to test against live codes because you have to pay for it and all that. And that's, you know, that gets very expensive, development. So I want to show you very quickly. I've got an app here that will run. So going along with the lines of your productivity app, it's a Pomodoro app. So here we have, it's a very basic Pomodoro app. You know, it's got the usual start a timer and I've got a purchase button here. So what I want to show basically is how I handle in-app purchases using a simulator. So here when I hit purchase, it's going to fail because I've told it to fail. And I should expect an error message. So let's do that. Oh no, an error occurred. So what you'd normally do when you've created your in-app purchase on the store is actually go and write some code like this. Let me see if I can narrow that down a bit. So you can see here, I've got a current app simulator. Now, if you're actually going to the live store, you just swap wherever I've got current app simulator, you swap it for just current app. And this sits within the Windows app model store namespace. In this case, what I want it to do is actually I want it to go and look up some of the store data from an XML file. If you don't call the reload simulator async and pass it this particular file, what will happen is it will generate one for you. And it will be tucked away in your user directory, which is a bit more difficult to find. And here you can see it's everything that we walked through on the store portal is actually represented here in XML. And the store actually provides you with an XSD that you can use. And they've got great instructions around this. So if I go, here. And we'll make sure this link is also available. But there you go. So you can see it walks you through everything. And actually at the bottom here, there is an XSD.
So that gives you an example of what you need to put in.
So you can see here very simply that on my one, I have an app that's a trial, pretty much expires tomorrow. I've got a consumable in here. And actually, I've got, when I purchase stuff, it's obviously given me an error. And I can control all this. So I could say, well, actually, I don't want you to do that. I want you to say it's OK. Or if I change this to interactive, it'll give me a pop-up asking me what I want that to do. So if I say everything's going to...
lots of flexibility with testing this stuff.
You really have. It's pretty much whatever you want. And then in my app code here, you can see all I'm just doing is a very simple feature. I say, well, OK, I'll obviously check in the trial and stuff to show you what's possible. But the real piece here is I say, well, in the current app simulator, I want to go to the license information. In there, the product licenses, I want you to check settings. And this actually maps, you're pretty much walking the XML at this point. You'll see that there's a license information element, which has product licenses, and there's a settings. I'm saying, hey, if I purchase the settings, in which case I want you to make sure that it's active and it's visible. If it's not, then I don't want you to show anything. So let's try walking through this again. So now that I've set the purchase to not fail, hopefully, fingers crossed, when I hit purchase, I'll get some settings appear. Oh, no, an error still occurred. Let me quickly check. I think I should have changed it on. I've got a purchase button. Yeah, request product purchase. Let's just quickly check that. Make sure I said that correctly. Oh, I'll see if I changed the right one.
Oh, okay, there we go. It was live debugging in action there. Just to
This is Prism Human, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So here we go again. We'll try it again. Purchase, and there you go. So now I got the settings menu appeared because what I essentially did was I purchased it, and then from there I got the product. So that's a very simple in-app walkthrough, and that page will give you all the goodies of how to get around.
Yeah, great, okay. So the current app simulator is your friend for that.
It is, yeah, definitely. Mm. So what I want to do is let's just quickly switch back. Show duplicate, maybe not. I need to go extend. And I'm going to go duplicate. I always have fun with this. And hopefully, cool. So, it was a very long walkthrough, but
well, there's a lot.
I wanted to cover as much as possible to show you, you know, what's possible and what's not.
Sure. Yeah. So that's good. I mean, because everybody has so many questions about.
Yeah. And it's the place where everyone has to go. You know, it's not like an API which say I don't need this for my app. You need to use a store to get your app distributed.
Yeah. Sure.
So, as mentioned, all the apps in the store will be .NET native. There are a couple of features I wasn't able to show you on the store, such as package filtering to support different devices. So I showed you that you could select sort of, you know, saying
you
I want hardware filtering. Yeah. We can actually have package filtering as well, which supports different, you know, devices at runtime, and you can be very specific about that. So for instance, here you can set which device family it should run on. So you saw we saw desktop and mobile.
Yep.
There'll be a few others. Processor architecture. Foreground memory and DirectX might be quite useful, which is optional.
And if I'm right, all this stuff goes in the manifest, doesn't it? A specific.
And let me show you what essentially happens. So the way this always works is, I mean, the consumer never worries about this, really. But what the store will always do is it'll always try and take the latest version of the package, and then it works down until it says, okay, well, this package doesn't meet the requirements of this hardware, I'll go to the next one. Okay, this doesn't work. And it basically keeps going down in the order of the version number. So you can see here that if I look at the ones that are available, I have 1.9, 1.84, 1.6, and you can see that I've got dependencies from starting, you know, the latest package requires DX12 APIs and DXFL12, and yet the lowest package here just requires Phone 8.1 or better.
So this is important. So when you submit an app to the store, you haven't got like one shot at it. The store is maintaining multiple different levels of your package, and it will do the best fit for any particular
client.
Yeah.
Exactly. So let's walk through a couple of those maybe.
All right.
So let's try a gaming desktop.
Okay.
Right. So a gaming desktop obviously requires the desktop device family.
Yeah.
It requires a version of Windows. In this case, we've got sort of
11.0.41.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And DXFL12.
Right.
So you can see here, it's going to go to the first one. The store's going to say, let's have a look. They actually all match apart from the bottom one.
Yeah, so it can't go on a Windows phone.
It will choose the most recent one.
The 1.9. Okay.
Yep, so you can see here it's got gaming desktop 1.9.
Okay.
Now let's look at an older laptop.
So this one is a different version of Windows, 12.473. It's got x86 processor.
Yeah.
And a lower version of DirectX. Yeah.
So you can see here it's already... store's not going to deliver you 1.9.
That needs DirectX 12.
So actually, 1.84 is a pretty good match.
Yeah, that's great. 1.6 higher than the minimum version. So
yeah. 1.6 is a good match. And 1.42 isn't because it's a phone only.
Yeah, okay. So one, of course, will get 1.84. Yeah. All right.
So now let's have a look at this. A value phone, a Windows 10 mobile phone that's got 190 megs of foreground memory.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm assuming that's pretty clear which one this would hopefully be.
Yeah.
And here you go. So the last one, 1.4.2, yep. Looks like the right
that's
one.
That's the match for that one, yeah. Yeah. So it's up to you what you still allow in the store in the package.
Correct, yeah. So you would then do all your sort of filtering on the package and the hardware, which is the checkboxes with Bluetooth and NFC, HC and all that sort of fancy goodness. You really have granular control over who gets what.
Right.
So we've talked a lot about the consumers, but the store is that's only one part of the store.
Yeah.
We've got the business store.
This is
too.
Actually one of the most exciting new bits of our store, isn't it? So the business store, brand new.
Yeah.
It's not quite rolled out yet, is it?
We're
still working on it, but we've made plenty of information available.
Correct.
So this is just around the corner.
Yeah. So let's have a look. So you can see here we've got, when you saw me check that volume licensing button.
What was that about?
That's basically so we can go and extend to different organizations. And you can see here that it's got loads of great features and it allows IT admins to go and buy from the store and then distribute out to
So who can set up a business store?
So pretty much any organization is normally backed by Azure Active Directory.
Yeah.
And from there, they'll be able to link directly to there. And you'll see on the store, we've got a sort of a workflow later on that shows you the user interface behind this. But the idea behind this is just a nice way to sort of, you know, acquire and distribute and then manage your applications to your within your organization.
Right.
And also allowing app devs or ISVs to go and actually go and say, well, actually, this application belongs to this organization because it might be purpose-built and therefore I want to make sure
and
that I manage
it. That's been kind of tricky to do in the
past.
Yeah,
so because
we've got all this stuff
you always
now
have
to
that
support.
Side-loading thing and the volume license key and all that's no longer sort of really there with this.
This helps
with that.
Yeah.
So let's have a quick workflow of what basically would happen in this case. So you can see here we have an ISV logs into the dev center.
Yep.
And from there,
as
they can
the
do
normal
the usual
things,
consumer flow.
Consumer store, yep. Right.
And then from there, they also have the opportunity to be available in the business store.
Yep.
So, you know, this is that volume license checkbox that we're checking.
Yeah.
And then from there, the app is acquired by IT purchaser, and it's available in the inventory. And then that can be deployed via.
So they can then manage who of their users gets access to a copy of this app. Yeah.
But that's one route.
Yeah.
So if you look at the other way, so they may actually wish to just publish to organizations and not via any consumer store and things like that.
Okay.
So actually, you can actually go and publish directly to the organization's inventory if you
so
want.
So this is the software developer has created a specific version.
Correct.
Or selling it directly to a particular organization. So yeah, so we're bypassing all of that and going directly to the business store.
Yeah, right. because that particular organization might have an inventory already, so you might not want to sell as an ISV. You might not be, you know, you might have white-labbed for a particular partner and you don't want to sell it to everyone. So therefore, you don't have to go via that business store.
Yeah.
So if we have a look, a quick walkthrough as what this looks like.
All right.
So this is basically for the IT purchaser or the admin. So they will log in.
And does it cost an enterprise to set one of these up?
So this is already there. I think there's costs around sort of the AAD and things like that.
The Azure services, for authentication. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay.
So you can see here when you log in as an IT purchaser, you'll see you've got like a web store, which you should be pretty much used to seeing.
Yeah.
You can go through and say, okay, well, these are the apps that are currently in my inventory.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much it. So you can purchase whatever you need. Then we'll go through to the IT purchaser where they've now logged in. So this is probably someone that's in the organization that's going to log in. And you can see here, this is the normal storefront you see. And what you can't probably see on the screenshot so much is that.
Yeah. So it's like the normal consumer store app. So this is an end user who happens to work for Contoso Limited.
Correct.
And when they log on to the normal store app, they can see all the regular consumer store categories, but then they've got this business
additional
category
Contoso Limited in this case.
Yeah.
And this is basically particular for this organization. So if you select that, you'll see that these are all the apps that are made available for this particular person, Pam in this case. From Contoso has all these apps available. And as the IT purchaser purchases more, they can then decide who gets what through, you know, like application management through AAD. So they can say, well, actually, Pam should get this app, or no, actually, she shouldn't get this app, but someone else might want to get this app, but Andy in our organization should use this. So they can manage all that quite nicely. And that's sort of the great thing about the business store. It gives businesses that flexibility, but as an app publisher, you don't have to worry about it so much in that way as well.
Right, nice.
So that's, there's definitely been a very quick sort of 1 hour of everything in the store, from in-app purchases to, you know.
Well, there's a lot of stuff there. So, great.
So let's go through that. And actually, do we have, I've got 5 minutes. I would like to show you one other thing.
If we can.
Let me have a look. So I'm going to go here and I'm going to go, because we talked about analytics.
You need to,
yep.
Thanks
for that. Hopefully you guys will see this.
Yeah, there we go.
Fantastic. So I'm going to go to the dashboard.
Yep.
So here's that same Contoso app. And you'll notice we have submissions and purchases. But what you'll notice is actually with the analytics, I can now see more about the acquisitions I've had. So this is a very popular app. Obviously, Contoso is definitely going for it. And it's, you can see they've had promotion codes, the impressions, the usage rates, the app crashes. So obviously, they've had quite a few.
Then.
Yeah, there was a bad version out there. It looks like they sort of fixed it back then. So you get a good idea of sort of what sort of analytics information you get. And you can get a full report on.
And you get all of that information for free unless you uncheck that during the submission. During app creation, right at farm new project.
And you can see here, I mean, it tells you everything from OS versions. I see most of these are on the Windows Phone 8.1 and the Windows 8.1 and all that sort of stuff. And you can even have a look at like sort of in-app purchases acquisition, so I can have a look at which in-app purchases were useful and which ones weren't. And this is all sort of given, you know, out of the box free. I can have a look at which were the top ones, which were the leading markets. So you get a lot of rich information, the customer demographic.
Yep.
And if I want to later on, I can also go and download all these reports in a nice CSV.
Loads of information there.
There is loads.
Yeah.
So, with that, I think I'm probably going to say thank you very much. Hopefully that was useful.
Yeah, great. All right. So, if you've been with us for the whole 2 days,
thank you so much.
Yeah. It's been our pleasure to bring you this, the Developer's Guide to Windows 10, the Build 10 240, otherwise known as kind of V1, if you like, first public release of the UWP. And there'll be other revisions in the future.
Yep, but, definitely.
I want to thank the Channel 9 awesome team out there for their great work. And thank you for watching, and hope to see you again soon. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much.